If you've been told to pull your socks up recently, then make sure it's a pair of RCR socks. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/shop.
Welcome back, everybody. You are here with Natalie Cutler-Welsh, listening to the Up Your Brave show on Reality Check Radio. Next up, I am talking to Dr. Sarah Ferrant on the topic of health illusions and how to do your health differently. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thank you, Natalie. It's lovely to share with your audience and, of course, yourself. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I'm excited to have you on the show. I know that you are a regular with Rodney on his show once a month, and we're so pleased to welcome you to the Up Your Brave show. For those of you that don't know Sarah, Dr. Sarah's unique understanding of health is changing lives globally. She is the co-founder of Vital Wellbeing, a company providing vital tools for generational change in health globally. In early 2000, she coined the term health expression versus sickness or illness, which today is used around the world. In 2007, she won Nonfiction Writer of the Year and became an Amazon number one bestseller. Her book is called The Vital Truth. Ooh, love that. And The Health Illusion. And these are global sellers and sold in over 34 countries. In 2010, she organized the world's health information data into bite-sized pieces so people could understand it, identifying three distinct health approaches: allopathic, alternative, and the little-known but rapidly rising alternate approach. Okay, we're going to dive into that. In 2018, she launched Vital Wellbeing online course, which is called Take Charge of Your Health. And she and her husband launched Vital Foods, a suite of products including colloidal minerals, magnesium, and Camu Camu vitamin C for people in New Zealand and overseas. She has an extensive background in teaching, psychology, general science, in addition to her Doctor of Chiropractic, and has been interviewed by numerous media worldwide, including Reality Check Radio, where she has a regular slot called Navigating Health Outside the System every month with the amazing Rodney Hyde. Oh, that's so good. How have you been enjoying being a regular on Rodney's show?
I love it. Do you know what I love the most, Natalie, is the feedback we get from people and the questions that they ask. And I think sometimes when you are doing radio, you think it's just you and the compere, right? It's just you and the radio host. And you forget that there is this, you know, ether out there, you know, with lots of people who do actually tune in and listen. So it's always lovely to get the feedback and the emails or the text messages that Rodney gets. So I'm enjoying it, you know. Thanks to RCR, right, for everything that you do, everything Rodney, Paul, and all the other hosts do. It's been such a game changer for the people of New Zealand and also internationally now, because we have so many people from overseas that tune in as well, which is great.
Well, thank you for sharing your wisdom, because that is really part of what I'm desiring to do, is to elevate the consciousness, but also the health of humanity. And there's a lot of things we don't know about. So we are going to dive into health illusions, everybody. But before we do, as I always ask most of my guests, I would love it, Sarah, if you could provide a little bit more of a picture. Tell us a bit more about your backstory, what led you to this place where you're doing so many things and amazing work as well with your husband around health and well-being and helping people to navigate health outside the system. Tell us about your journey.
Well, it's an interesting journey. I probably have to go back to when I was about five in 1972. And I there was a late breaking story on the TV, and I was sitting there with my parents, and it was a brain surgeon who had performed this surgery of a particular kind. And I was in awe of this guy that could open up the cranium and look in the brain and do whatever he needed to do. Anyway, I got off the couch that night and said to my parents, I'm going to be a doctor. A brain surgeon is what I said. Anyway, at the same time in 1972, I had this seed planted that I wanted to do something. I wanted to look inside the human body. And then I had this other vision that I wanted to represent my country in an elite sport. So because that was the Moscow Olympics were on, and I was just like, oh, my God, look, these athletes. And so I was very young age. Anyway, cut to when I got to school. Natalie, I was very challenged with education and being inside the box, and I had always thought differently. And I pretty much, at the age of even 27, I had the reading age of a 12-year-old. You know, I was very challenged with reading and comprehension and writing. But I used to go to this lady called Miss Claire, And I would walk out of the classroom when the teacher had called out, you know, Sarah, it's time to go to Miss Claire. And everyone in the classroom, of course, knew who Miss Claire was. And she was the dunce's teacher. And anyway, I'd pick up my manila folder and my pen and I'd walk across the oval to her brown door. And every time my left foot, I'm left-handed, my left foot touched the grass, I would say to myself, I'm going to be a doctor and change people's lives. I'm going to be a doctor and change people's lives. And I said that pretty much for the whole of my school life as I was going to her brown door. And she taught me about systems. She could see that I was very, very clever in looking at systems. Anyway, when it got to the end of school, it was pretty clear that I wasn't going to be a brain surgeon, right? You know, I barely passed English to get through what was called HSC at the time. And then rowing was very, very, I was very good at rowing. And then I was selected into the Australian rowing team. And then I was living at the Australian Institute of Sport. So I was still doing something with the body and I was still systematically looking at it from a physical point of view. Anyway, when it came time to retire from rowing, I got this letter. And again, I'm not into coincidences. I believe there's no coincidences. There are only coincidences. Mm. Anyway, so I'd gone to the mail room at the Australian Institute of Sport and there was this letter, this opportunity to apply to go to this college in New South Wales called the Australian College of Physical Education. And it was a college that was set up for elite athletes, that they really recognised that the training regime was very different to a university setup, that courses were done at different times, et cetera. So I moved from Canberra to Sydney and I started studying physical education. And I found I finished second in my year because it was all systems. I could understand the muscular system, the nerve system, endocrine system, all of the systems. And then when I finished that, I then went into studying psychology at La Trobe University in Melbourne. And that wasn't so much systems, but I just was able to think outside the box in lots of things in that way. When I finished at psychology, chiropractic came into my life. So I'm going back to 1993. And there was a husband and wife couple. We went out for dinner with them because they became fast friends. And I asked them, if you were going to study again, where would you go? With no inclination of going and studying chiropractic. And they said, oh, well, we'd go to Palmer College of Chiropractic in Iowa, which is where it all began. And I said, why would you go there? And I said, it's because of the philosophy. And I said, philosophy? They said, yes, it's the reason why we do what we do. Anyway, the next day I went back out to La Trobe University. And, you know, the internet then, of course, Natalie, as you would remember, it was very rudimentary, right? You couldn't just print a page. You had to print the whole of the website. So I looked up Palmer College of Chiropractic and I printed off everything that was on there. It was a wad of like 30-something pages. And I went out to the quadrangle and I sat down with this wad of paper and just started reading through. And then I saw in the top, in the first page, this definition of health being about optimal physical, mental and social well-being and not necessarily the absence of disease. And I was like, what? And then they were speaking about the nerve system. I was like, really? And then they were talking about the brain and body connection. I was like, what? And then there was this button, you know, obviously I wasn't on the internet, it was a click here button that was printed that says click here for the Doctor of Chiropractic program. And then I just started howling my eyes out. You know, I wrapped up this young five-year-old who got off the couch that day and said, I'm going to be a doctor and change people's lives, and the brain surgeon specifically. But here I was then with this possibility of going and studying chiropractic and looking deep inside the body and doing brain surgery in such a different way, but with that connection. And that kind of, you know, I went home to my husband and I said, well, I'm moving to America. We all know how this works. We can get divorced, have a long distance relationship, or you can come with me. So, you know, to my blessed space, he actually said, yes, he would come. And so we both went and studied chiropractic. We sold everything we owned down to a couple of boxes and we took off in the mid 1990s to study. And it was the best thing that we ever did. And I think going there and studying chiropractic and studying the way in which health can be approached and just looking at a whole different way of looking at what health is, was just so, you know, for me, it broke a whole lot of illusions for myself, which, you know, this understanding that health is something that comes from the outside in, that you have to go to someone to get something, to take something away. And I always have this question, Natalie, that I ask people, because when they do look at health from that perspective, that health is about having no signs and symptoms, it's about having no pain, it's about eating right, feeling good and being happy. You know, that's what people say health is when I ask them. It doesn't matter where I'm speaking around the world, that's the answers that they give. And yet when you come from that that perspective, the question that you have to ask then is, so if medications give you health, then shouldn't the people taking the most medications be the healthiest? And they're not, you know, and we know they're not, you know, yeah. We know they're not. So for me, you know, going to chiropractic college, very much being immersed in the philosophy and the understanding of the human body and in its design, for me was an absolute game changer. And as a result of that, from the day that I walked into a chiropractic practice, the Ken and Karen's practice, I have never looked back in terms of my health. So at the age of seven, if I just go back a bit, Natalie, at the age of seven, because this is an important piece too, my dad placed his hand on my heart and he said, Sarah, you have all the answers inside of you. All you have to do is ask the question and trust your answer. That day changed my life. And then at the age of 10.
Wait, let me jump in. What an incredible dad.
Yeah. Look, when he passed away, my sister and I wished that we had have done like dad's little black book of sayings, because he just had so many, and so many of them just touched my life at the right moment. And that one at the age of seven, it took me a while to unpack, but it was at the age of 10 that I actually put it into effect. And Mum was doing some baking in the kitchen. I went round to see what she was baking. I coughed a couple of times, and you would have thought, you know, Mount Vesuvius had erupted in the house, because she turned off the beater, grabbed a blanket, popped me in her car and whizzed me up to my uncle, who was our family medical doctor, and we had family privileges. We got seen to straight away. Richard asked me a couple of questions, to which I said, yes, no, maybe, sometimes not really. He wrote a prescription. We were back in the car, and then we were down at our other good family friends, who were David and Heather, and they owned the pharmacy. And I sat in the car, Natalie, and Mum got out and went to get the prescription fulfilled. And I stared out the window, transported back to that age of seven. You have all the answers inside of you. Ask the question, trust your answer. Now, no other health approach was in my life, right? It was just the allopathic approach. And I knew what medication I was going to get, because we frequented Uncle Richard so much, right? I knew we were going to get more amoxicillin. Anyway, so I stared out the window and I asked the question, what do I want to do? And the answer that came back was rest. So Mum got back in the car. We took, zoomed home. She went into the kitchen. She got a glass of water. She popped the pill and then she slid it across the kitchen bench, saying the 10 well-drilled words that I grew up with, which were, there you go, darling, this will make you feel better. And I looked at my mum and I said, no, thanks. I'm going to my room and resting. And from that day forward, I rarely told my parents of any kind of, you know, what I call a health expression, but sickness that I was experiencing, because I didn't want to go and get more amoxicillin. That was not going to make any difference to my body. In fact, it was going to make it worse. So from there, then, you know, my life changed when a new kid started at school, and her mum was an alternative kind of field, and that took me there. So really from zero to around my mid-teens, I was sitting in this allopathic approach to health, and then I left that and then went into the alternative health approach, but I still was looking for something, right? I think this is the distinctive time, is that when you go to the alternative approach, you know, you might have, aspirin in an allopathic approach, but you've got willow bark in an alternative approach, but your philosophy, your thought is still the same. I'm still wanting something. I just don't want the pharmaceutical, petrochemical made drug. And I sat in that alternative approach until my mid-20s, about 25, 24. And then that's when I entered into this, what I call this alternate approach. Be that chiropractic was a big mainstay of that, and I have not looked back. So I've not had a medication pass my lips, over the counter, prescribed or scheduled for well over 32 years. And all of our kids were born at home, the third of which was a breech, and none of them, they're now 22, about to turn 20, about to turn 18. They have never had a drug in their life, over the counter, prescribed or scheduled, nor alternatives, so homeopathic, herbs or anything like that.
Wow.
So we that in and of itself, I think some people's jaws just kind of go, whoa, you know, how do you do that? And it all goes back to, what is health and what is your interpretation of health, and how do we help people unpack that understanding so we can see where that actually starts from? Because it's no use saying that I'm going to go and have alternative stuff because I don't want drugs anymore, but you're still taking that same philosophy and you're still approaching health as if something's missing and you've got to get it back and your body's got it wrong and you've got to try and fix it in some way.
What a fascinating story. I love the descriptions of it from a listener's perspective, even like the manila folder and the brown door and the grass and your dad, hand on heart. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
And I wrote down what he said, well, what you said, you have all the answers inside of you. Ask the question, trust the answer.
Yeah.
Boom. Brilliant.
And you know what? He also said, find out what everybody else is doing and run like hell in the opposite direction. I'll never
forget. He's ahead of his time. Who is this guy?
But he was reading, you know, Napoleon Hill back when I was in nappies. You know, he'd always worked, you know, Zig Ziglar would have tapes that would show up in the mail. And he was just he loved human development. He loved reading. He's quite entrepreneurial in his thought processes. But he was very much the guy next door, you know. So he was a very humble man, but full of wisdom. Yeah.
Well, this interview is going out to him.
Thank you.
In his honor. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, so today we're talking about health illusions. You've already touched on a few. Is your philosophy, because that's, I haven't heard about that before, like in terms of taking no, even if they're natural remedies, you're like, no remedies. Is that because your belief is, and my belief is as well, that the body is designed to heal itself?
Yeah. Yeah. Like where do we, you know, when you go back through history or over the last 100 years or so, where have we lost this trust in the human body? Where have we been taught to actually fear our genes? You know, where are we living with so much fear that we don't even understand what we have inside of us? And the beauty that we have inside of us is that we have this innate intelligence. You know, we have this heart that beats itself. We have this ability to breathe without having to consciously be aware of it. You know, 20,000 times a day, I think it is that we breathe, you know, and our heart beating and our food digesting and our eyes blinking and our saliva, you know, that is like 1.5 liters of saliva that gets formed a day, you know, per day in our mouth. It's just this extraordinary beauty that we have inside of us. And yet we're taught to fear it at a very young age because we are taught to fear disease. Now, you can't get to health by avoiding disease. It doesn't happen. You need both in order for you to be able to express health. So that raises a question then, just within what I said then, if we unpack that for a minute, is if the question to ask people is, what is health? And as I alluded to before, health is from a society definition, a acceptable definition, it is, you know, having no signs or symptoms, having no pain, eating right, exercising and being happy. But health in and of itself, when you look at the definition of the word, not this hearsay definition, but the actual definition of the word, is optimal physical, mental and social well-being, and not necessarily the absence of disease or infirmity. And then you've got to ask yourself, well, what is the root meaning of the word health? Because most people don't know this. And the root meaning of the word health is whole, wholeness. So in order then, Natalie, for something to be whole, we've got to have two halves. And if you have two halves, we can say, well, one's positive and one's negative. Now, if we look at the human body, then if we go into and we dive into the, we go from systems to organs to tissues to cells to organelles to molecules to atoms. Now, in an allopathic approach to health, that's where you stop. You stop at the atom. It cannot be divided down any further. There's nothing within it. You are just building blocks of all these mechanistically blocks put together. And therefore, we can provide you with headache medication that will do its job, and it will create the illusion that there's no more headache there for you. But there's no consideration given to the rest of what those ingredients are going to do to the rest of the body, because there's this thought process in this allopathic approach to health that there is no intelligence in the body. You are just these cogwheels that are all put together and packed. So there isn't this understanding that there's an intelligence. But what if we went a little bit further into this, you know, alternate approach to health, and we actually can go down a lot further? So we go then from systems to organs to tissues to cells to organelles to molecules to atoms to subatomic particles to vibrations to energy and then to light. And then light, when we break it down, has a positive and a negative charge. And then you say, well, isn't that happening everywhere in the body, that we have positive and negative charges going on? Well, yes, it is. We have catabolic and anabolic reactions occurring in the body. We have toxic and tonic reactions occurring. We have sodium and potassium pumps crossing cell membranes at the same time in this delicate, coordinated, homeostatic or balanced approach. And then we have, you know, cell death and cell growth at the same time. And then if we take that understanding outside, out of the body, we see that there's positive and negative around us as well. So we have high tides and low tides, and males and females, and sun and moon, and light and dark, and famine and obesity, and flood and drought. It's there. It's everywhere around us. So if we go back to this root meaning of the word health being about wholeness and having a positive and negative, then if I gave you a magnet, Natalie, and said, okay, I want you to chop off just the positive end, you can't do that, can you? Because there's positive and negative, and there's negative in positive. So it's the same thing with health. Health, it does not exist on this linear line where we've got health at one end and disease at the other. It's this line where we move from left to right, we move front to back, and we move up and down. So your health is oscillating all the time. And in order for us to understand what optimal health is, then we're not going to get there by avoiding disease. Does that make sense?
Well, it does make sense. And it's quite fascinating, isn't it? Because yeah, to say that it's the absence of disease, it's a bit like, wah, wah, like what a lame goal of being healthy. It's so fascinating. I wanted to take you to something you mentioned. You talked about fearing our genes. Is this, may or may not be, but is one of the health illusions around inheriting things from your parents, like, oh, my mom had a bad hip, so I'm going to have a bad hip or whatever. Talk to me a little bit about genes and fearing our genes.
Well, there's probably more goes through to the thoughts. So the thoughts that we have create our reality, right? What we think about, we bring about. And the more that we focus on, the more that we're going to, you know, have within our life. So, you know, for us, in terms of vital well-being, the way that we look at how people create neurological challenges in their body are through three ways: thoughts, trauma, and toxins. Or said another way, move, eat, think, or physical, chemical, and emotional means. So the thought part of it is just one aspect of that. We're all born with, you know, wonderful potential and perfection, regardless of how we're born. We all have that ability to express health. And what we then create is these neurological challenges. So what you're talking about is our genes. So how can I bring this back into a simple way? So when we perceive our world to be in a certain way, we then can change what's happening physiologically within our body to then take off the protein coat of the gene so it can be expressed. So it's not like a what's first, horse or cart. For me, it's very clear that it is our perceptual through our eyes, our ability to see something, and therefore we change our physiology in accordance with that thought that then has the expression of our genes. So the fact that we fear, you know, our genes, because I mean, there's so much out there, right? There's so much that is occurring in the health space with regards to, you know, go and get your DNA tested and do you have this gene for this? We have it for everything. You know, the body is limitless in terms of its ability to express whatever health we want it to express, given the right conditions, of course.
You said something catchy. I'm a big one for alliteration and acronyms. You mentioned what I'm going to call the three T's, but I didn't get all of them.
Thoughts, trauma, and toxins.
Trauma. Thank you.
Yeah. So not necessarily in that order. I want you to think of it like a triune, you know, or how we move, how we think, and what we put into our body. So the thought part of it is, of course, you know, is there death in the family that's going to have an effect on our physiology? Is there divorce in the family? Is there a new baby born into the family? Is there teenage years? You know, all of that is going to have an effect. I mean, that's only a short bit. We could endlessly go through a whole list of them, but then there's the trauma part of it. So that's the sports we play, how we move, the aging process and the birth process. Regardless of how children are brought into the world, there is neurological challenge that will go with that, whether ours are homeborn or whether other people are born via C-section, ventouse or forceps or anything like that. There can be that physiological change through the nerve system. And then the foods that we eat, you know, of course, that would be the toxin part of it. So is it an organic diet or a fast food diet, a processed diet, is there wheat in there? Is there dairy in there? Is there, you know, other things that are going to inflame the body? So secondhand smoke, smoker, vapor, chemicals that we put in and on our skin, and what we clean our house with. So all of those, we've got these assaults on our health coming from lots of different angles.
Well, that's right. There's a lot going on. Let's talk about the health illusions then. What are some of these illusions that you're talking about?
Well, the illusion really, if we look at those three health approaches, so the allopathic approach, the alternative approach, and the alternate approach. Now, when I first started systemizing that back in 2010, Natalie, the first thing I did was I looked at the words, because I am a word nerd. I love, I love breaking words down. And so pathic actually means remaining passive. And you saw what I said when I went to Uncle Richard, I went to someone to get something, to take something away. And in that exchange, I was the passive participant. I was having questions asked of me. I was just delivering one line as yes, no, sometimes, maybe not really. And from that, he wrote a prescription. So we go to someone to get something, to take something away, with the understanding that that person must have more intelligence about our body than what we do. So one of those illusions is that, well, actually, no, we do have the knowledge of our body if we choose to listen. Mm. But a lot of the time, the saying that I have is that we need to learn to listen to the whispers that our body is giving us, because that will, you know, hold us in good stead going forward. And then the alternative approach, interestingly, native, a lot of people think, oh, that means organic or of the earth, but it actually doesn't. It actually means offering a choice. So when people are coming out, as I alluded to before, out of the allopathic approach, going into the alternative approach, they're still searching for something, aspirin over here, willow bark over here. And then you go into the alternate approach, where it's not about going to someone to get something, to take something away. It's very much, I have a nerve system, I want to take care of it. And that's where chiropractic comes in, because as a chiropractor, you're looking after your nerve system, your central nerve system, your brain, and your spinal column. And in utero, when you are first conceived, the first 3 weeks of life, you are energetically, remember I said if we go down into that hierarchy, we all go all the way down to subatomic particles, vibrations, energy, and light. So the first 3 weeks of our life is this energy that is brought together, like the high vibrations. It's amazing that more does not go awry because the vibrations bring those cells together. And it's the third week that the intelligence of the body goes, you know what? We're now going to make a develop a notochord. And notochord is your brain, your spinal cord, which forms your central nerve system. And from that, everything else is developed. But your body at that form at part in time goes, okay, well, now we're actually going to encase this in bone because it is so vitally important to your health and how you express health and how you approach health going forward. So for me, that's why when our kids were born at home, they were chiropractically adjusted within minutes of being born, not because anything was wrong, but because everything was right. You know, you have a nerve system that you want to take care of. So that would be one of the, I think one of the illusions that we have been living is that we have totally missed the boat on understanding the importance of the nerve system and its role in our body and in health. You know, we give so much credit to the muscular system or the cardiovascular system or the endocrine system, but the overarching one that connects all of those systems is your nerve system. And then what else would there be in terms of the illusions? The biggest one would be the fear that we have been brought up with. So this fear that something's going to happen if you don't take something to suppress it. So in other words, let's say that little Johnny has a fever and the mum is, you know, panicking about that, and I'm going to go and to someone to get some, take something away. We'll get a Panadol or a Pamol, and I'll give that to little Johnny, and then now Johnny doesn't have a fever. And the mum's like, oh, great, that's so good. However, this is what's happened. I'll give you an analogy. Let's just say that your house, Natalie, is burning on fire, but you have a direct connection for your alarm through to the fire brigade. And the fire brigade get the alarm like, oh, my gosh, Natalie's house is on fire. And they jump in the truck and they zoom as fast as they can to your house. They all jump out of the truck and they all race over to the alarm. One guy or girl gets the scissors out, cuts the alarm. They all jump back in the truck and they drive off. Leaving.
They're like, phew, that was close.
Yeah. Leaving your house burning. So every time we put a medication into the body, we are creating this illusion that something is gone. We cut ourselves off at the head to our body and everything is left on fire. So illusion, when you look at that word backwards, is Sean is a condition of you being ill. Illusions that we live when it comes to, you know, health and what it is. But because little Johnny, like me, is brought up in this allopathic approach to health, we're taught that health is about, you know, having no pain, having no signs and symptoms, eating right, exercising and being happy. In fact, you could probably drop off the last three. The majority of it is about having no pain and having no signs and symptoms. And because of how Johnny is taught constantly, here you go, darling, this will make you feel better. Here you go, darling, this will make you feel better. Here you go, darling, this will make you feel better. So Johnny then goes through life being given X, Y, Z constantly for sniffles, for rashes, for whatever it may be. And then this is where I see a switch, Natalie, is that when Johnny now gets older, and we know now at the age of between the ages of 10 and 12, children are peddling drugs at school. So we've taught Johnny that if you have something that's challenging with you, go to someone, get something, take it away.
Pop a pill.
Then we'll deem ourselves to be healthy again. The school will deem you to be healthy. Society will deem you to be healthy because you don't have that anymore. And then when Johnny's at school, Johnny gets to the age of 10, 12, 13, 14, and then there's the guys peddling the drugs at school because now Johnny's in his chemical approach going into his emotional self where lots of thoughts happen from depression to suicide thoughts, am I who I am, am I not, etc. And then they reach out to the school kid, oh, here you go, take my Xanax. You know, here you go, take my whatever. And then all of a sudden the parents get wind of Johnny taking a drug at school and now the parents are saying, no, Johnny, we don't do drugs. And I was like, hang on. for 10 years of my life, you've been telling me to pop pills and do drugs. And now you're telling me when I'm choosing to want to do something because it's too painful in my head or my thoughts, you're now telling me I can't do that. So we have this double-edged sword that we raise our children in with regards to what is appropriate and what's not appropriate. So for me, looking at health, it was always about teaching our children to, trust your body. Listen, I always believed that my role was as a guide. I'm there to guide my children. I'm there to give them wings so that they can fly. And who am I to say whether their experience of whatever it is right or wrong, because it's their experience. I'm just there to ask question after question. That's what my dad was, a Socratic parent. He would ask question after question after question. My mum taught me about accountability. So for me, it was just with our children, was very much asking questions that would help lead to different conclusions. And I'm happy to give you an example of that. So our eldest...
Just for a minute, I want to jump back to the fever for a moment. Yeah. Because a lot of people don't know, this is my understanding. So when the body presents with a fever, quite often, is this correct, it's trying to burn off and get rid of something. So it's a kind of a natural process. And yeah, I guess what I'm hearing from you is we sometimes just need to trust the body and let things play out instead of doing the numbing technique or the plaster bandage, you know, where we give them a Panadol and it takes the fever away, but it's not really there. That's the example of the fire truck. Is that correct around like the body is trying to burn off something? That's really what a fever is. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, fever has lots of different things in the body. I mean, it can work with the endocrine system, it can help with hormone releases as well. But it can, or, you know, it's always utilized or presented in the body in terms of the body creating it. When we need to have the most growth. So you'll find that most of the fevers happen in a 0 to 7 age group, very rare from a 7 to 14 or 14 to 21. You know, now as adults, we rarely have, rarely have a fever. But the immune system, the nerve system, the immune system go, okay, let's create fevers in order for that growth and development. So we know that it's like when you are not dissimilar to, putting a, I'm not a germ theorist, but I'm just wanting to give people an idea here, right? Like if you were going to put a bottle top into water and you increase the temperature, and that supposedly is going to kill any germs that are on there, right? So it's the same thing with the body. It will increase its core temperature, but not necessarily to kill anything that is in there, but to activate other systems that help the child to grow and to develop. And I think when you come from that point of view, that's when you go, wow, this is extraordinary. You know, this is amazing that this body actually creates this, because you're not catching a fever, you can't catch anything, but you create everything within your body. But the extraordinary part of the human body that says, I'm going to create this, because right now in this moment, this is when we need to have the development, because everything else internally inside is all in balance. It's all in check. Now's our opportunity to have the growth. And so the body creates that. And I think it was Tobin, who was a medical doctor. He said the only challenge with children with fevers is when they have a pre-existing neurological interference. And it's the same that actually was in Lancet, although Lancet's lost some credibility over the years. But, back many years ago, Lancet actually said that as well, that the only challenge that a fever will bring is when a child has a pre-existing neurological interference, which makes you think then, why wouldn't you, when a child is born or brought into the world, why wouldn't you want to have it neurologically checked for making sure that all that communication between the brain and the central nervous system through the spinal cord and out there into the peripheral nervous system is clear so that they can develop in the best way that they can. I probably digress there a few questions.
That's all good. And what I'm thinking of is actually with my first two, I got them checked, well, not by a chiro, it was an osteo. Definitely wasn't in the first few minutes, but in the first few weeks. My third was born during the Christchurch earthquake. Well, actually the day after, the next day. And when he was 3 days old, so I went to the hospital, had the baby, straight home, didn't stay. And we were on a plane when he was 3 days old and 3 weeks old. We lived in Wellington. And then 3 weeks later, we moved to Auckland. So I don't think I ever got him. I didn't actually get him checked, but it's interesting. I think a lot of our listeners would have had a bit of an aha moment just there when you shared with us about the fever and the body being ready to grow. I mean, these are things we're not told. That's what we're talking about today. That's what we're talking about on Reality Check Radio. For those of you that just joined us, you're listening to the Up Your Brave show. I'm talking to Dr. Sarah Ferrant today about health illusions and how to do your health differently, because there are so many things we are just not told, and some misinformation about health and well-being. What are some other health illusions? And you were just about to segue into a story and I interrupted you. So you can take this answer wherever you want, into a story or other health illusions.
Okay. So I'll take it into the story because I think it probably wraps that other piece up well. When our eldest boy was 5 and a half, we were just getting ready to move to New Zealand from the Sunshine Coast. And he, because we home educate our kids, you know, from us, home education was just an extension of being able to educate them on their body and trust in that. But why wouldn't we also trust them in their, you know, that they have everything they need in terms to be able to educate themselves. So we are home educated and we take them to Alexandra Headland Skate Park, and there's a ramp in the middle. I don't know if you've been there, Natalie, on the Sunshine Coast there. And there's a ramp that's quite high for a 5 and a half year old. And he was unable to get down. Anyway, he got in the car and he kind of slammed the door a bit. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, what's up? And he goes, wow, I'm just not able to get down that ramp. And so I said, it's okay. It'll, you know, it'll happen when you and your body and your mind are ready. Anyway, a couple of days later, he was kicking his sheets on his bed and, you know, kind of writhing around. And I said to my husband, I'm just going to go and check on Anon. So I went round to his room and I knelt down and I placed my hand on his forearm, much like my dad when he placed his hand on my heart. And I said to him, Anon, it's mummy. What's going on? I don't know. I don't know. And I said, yes, you do. What's going on? He said, well, clearly I created a health expression. And I said, good job, buddy. What's the health expression about? I don't know. Yes, you do. Is it physical, chemical, or emotional? And he said, it's physical. I said, great job, buddy. Health expression, physical body. What's the physical about? And he said, well, I think I'm going to grow in my strength and I'm going to be able to get down that ramp. And I squeezed his forearm just a little bit firmer and I said to him, do you think or do you know? And he said, I know. And I said, good job, buddy, health expression, physical body, grow in your strength, get down the ramp. And I adjusted him, not because anything was wrong, but because everything was right. And I kissed him goodnight. And then 2 days later, he was down the ramp. So could that story then, you know, for your listeners' point of view, been very different in my household growing up, where I would have been wrapped in the blanket, popped in the car, zoomed right to emergency or Uncle Richard or whatever to get more amoxicillin or something to, or antibiotic, I don't know, but it would have been something to suppress whatever it was that I had. And that's what I was alluding to before, Natalie, is that my job as a parent, I've always seen, is to ask them questions. Mm-hmm. And it's always been around those three T's. You know, what's going on? And then I can help guide to wherever they're going, because maybe there are those questions that I haven't thought of that opens another door for them to help understand, one, what's happening within their body and what's occurring and what changes are underfoot, but also as a result of that change, what are the possibilities that can come from that change? And I think we're taught to fear what we have in our life if we make a change versus, you know, just I'll take something and suppress it and then I'll feel better. You know, like, so we don't use the word better or worse in our house, not at all. And even in practice, when I'm working with people, I don't use the word what's better or what worse, but what two words I do use is what's changed and what's different. Because if your body has changed since the last time I saw you, whether that's our children we're adjusting or people in the practice, and something is different, then I know that your body is adapting to its environment. And if we look at the human body by design, then you are a self-healing, self-regulating, self-maintaining, self-regenerating organism that is constantly adapting to your environment. And the overarching communication of that is your nerve system. So if we keep it well adjusted, we understand the power of our thoughts, our emotions, and our the trauma that we have, or our physical body, across seven areas of life, not just a few areas of life, but there are seven areas of life, then, well, whew, our world is, you know, anything is possible, right?
Absolutely. What a great story. What a great mom, by the way. And it's interesting because while you would have been wrapped in a, you know, blanket and whisked off to the hospital, some other kids might have been like, oh, you're fine. Stop whinging about it. You know, like the almost the other approach.
Yes.
So you're the author of two books. I would love it if you could share with us one or two little gems of wisdom. What are the things that people love that they learn in one of your books?
So The Vital Truth, that came out in 2006. I haven't done an edit on it. I'm in the process of doing, you know, rereading it and doing it, only because what was written back then is so relevant to what is now. And there's about 13, 14 different stories of people who have changed their life through this understanding of the nerve system being the master communicating system, and looking through the three T's, the thoughts, the trauma, and the toxins. I also go into what is mechanistic and vitalistic philosophy. It said in a different way, I look at the allopathic and the alternative and the alternate. I touch on it. But it wasn't until 2014 that my second book came out, which is called The Health Illusion, Is It Killing You? And that's where I do more of a deep dive into these three different ways of looking at health, that allopathic, the alternative, and the alternate, and share stories and other things. I share about medical obedience in there, and do you have the nerve to be healthy? And I share about, you know, drug pushes are closer than what you think, you know, touching on that family story of the being at home and being in the schoolyard. So, you know, I get comments all the time and well, not all the time, but emails and, you know, on social media when people send the DMs of how much they have changed their lives. And given that they're sold in 34 countries, I think they're having a great impact on people's lives. Yeah.
It's definitely resonating with people. Well, listeners, do you have the nerve to be healthy? I'm hoping that you've learned something today. We would love to hear from you or any questions you might have. You can send us a text 2057. You can send us an email inbox@realitycheck.radio. Sarah, we're almost out of time, but I'd love to ask you the up your brave question. If you were to truly up your brave in the remaining months of 2024, what would you do or not do?
That is such a great question, because I've just come out of doing something I think that upped my brave, where I've just done 30 different presentations around the country under the title of Navigating Health Outside the System. So I was going like the clappers, as they say, for 10 months. And now I feel like I'm up in my brave. I'm like calming myself down. But
What is the country? Are you talking about New Zealand or Australia?
In New Zealand.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've been, 30 different presentations. Incredible. So 30 different places. Yeah. From, you know, Cromwell to Timaru to Wellington. Yeah. Like lots of, you know, everywhere around the country, which has been fantastic. And the communities and the people that I've met have been extraordinary. But I'm working on part two now of that presentation. So that would be, you know, upping my brave in terms of, okay, going on the road again and organizing all of that. And, but for now I'm taking a little bit of a sabbatical just to, not talk as much, I guess. Maybe my voice sounds a bit raspy, but yeah, I'm looking forward to doing part two.
Well, that's amazing. Good on you. And also going to the smaller towns that don't always get speakers. I used to live in Timaru, so shout out to Timaru. But also it warms my heart, because obviously people are more excited, more willing, more ready to hear about alternate approaches to health and well-being. And you've obviously got a lot of wisdom.
We reached just under 1,000 people that I spoke to over that time. So I guess that's no moon feat, and it's a start. But if we can help, you know, the country look at health in a different way, and, you know, by what I know over the last 37 years, then I'm happy to share that.
Amazing. Well, the next question is, what is coming up? Maybe a little bit of a break. And how can people connect with you online or follow you or buy your book?
The easiest place to follow us online would be going to Facebook and Instagram. We're also on LinkedIn and Twitter, but I don't tend to post so much on there, but mainly on Instagram and Facebook. So that would be at One Vital Wellbeing. Or people can go to our website, which is vital-wellbeing.com. So vital-wellbeing.com. That would be the easiest way to get a hold of us and follow along. People can sign up to get our newsletter that comes out once a month. And we always write according to the Move, Eat, Think, or the physical, the chemical, the emotional, or the thoughts, trauma, and toxins. So we always come from that perspective.
So good. And the we is you and your husband or you and your team?
Yes, me and my husband. And we have, you know, people around us, but it's mainly him and I. I mean, he's an extraordinary chiropractor, the way he maps things and put things together for people. And his skills are amazing as well. So he's very blessed and very gifted with what he does.
Well, he made a smart decision when he followed you to America back in the day. That's so good. All right. Thank you so much, Dr. Sarah Ferrant, for coming on. Is there anything else you want to share with our listeners before we go?
Probably trust. You know, trust is the biggest thing. It's one of those ones that we have so removed from because we have taught to fear so much. You know, whether it's kids at school fearing adults or fearing teachers or fearing exams, it's just fear, 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 fear. And as Zig Ziglar said, fear is false evidence appearing real. So, you know, how helping yourself to get back to that center of trust and look at the body as this an extraordinary gift. And if we're not taking care of our body, where do we expect to live in the future? So it's been great sharing with you and your listeners. So thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Amazing. So good to have you on the Up Your Brave show. You guys can listen to Sarah on Rodney's show as well at some stage. And definitely please go ahead and share the replay with your friends so that they also can have more vital health. Thanks so much.
Thanks for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. Do you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to? Either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We'd love to hear from you, so connect with us today.